Should I speak English or Chinese?
English, please.
English better, huh? Okay. So now is the last chance to summarize what we have learned yesterday and to add few things to make the picture complete. Okay? Some tongxue, they told me they can't understand English clearly. So maybe in Veracruz I will then use Chinese to again summarize what I have said and add some more. So now, yesterday we have started explaining the four steps in this meditation. We have also explained this meditation on breath has the samatha part and has the vipassana part also. The vipassana part we have not touched. It's best, I may talk about it in Veracruz, it's best to first cultivate samadhi and attain samadhi, then to go to vipassana. This is the best way. This is how I myself have learned. But in Veracruz, I will speak also about the vipassana part, how to connect it in daily life. And maybe in the afternoon before I leave, I will also summarize the practical part of it, how to use it in daily life, as in the frame of the satipatthana practice. The sati is the guardian of our minds. Without the guardian, our mind is lost in the jungle of the different coyotes, jackals, and wolves, and all kinds of dangerous animals of our polluted emotions. And different unsuitable differentiations which are also connected with negative emotions. So to protect our minds from this jungle of coyotes, jackals, wolves, foxes and the mountain lions. California has a mountain lion there, right? These jaguars and tigers. It is very necessary to practice sati, the mindfulness in daily life. There is no other way to protect the mind. Mindfulness is the most precious protector of the minds. If the mindfulness is not there, who knows what jackal, wolf, coyote bites and causes you many unpleasant and conflicting emotions. I have also mentioned yesterday that mindfulness and samadhi or concentration are inseparable. The mindfulness is the cause of samadhi, and again the samadhi is the cause of mindfulness. They are inseparable. So practice of samadhi, if we really want to benefit from it, should be a continuous practice. And it can only become continuous practice when the mindfulness is there. Otherwise it will never become, it will never have continuity. That which makes give samadhi continuity, it is precisely this mindfulness and awareness. It allows the samadhi to have continuity. And samadhi, you should understand, there are two kinds of samadhi. The deep concentration, which is divided in the scriptures into the so-called kama dhatu concentration, the deep concentration in the sensual sphere. It is also called the proximate samadhi, jinshin ting, and the apana samadhi, the full samadhi, that means anjating. Which is explained in the Abhidhamma, actually, as the samadhi practice is explained as the practice of the eight samapatis, the four absorptions in the subtle forms, and four absorptions in the formless. This is how Abhidhamma explained the practice of samadhi. Deep samadhi here is meant. Now, there is also samadhi, vipassana samadhi, which is called khanika samadhi, kshanika samadhi, kshana kshana samme. This samadhi is what we use for vipassana. And the condition of the samadhi is that you have cultivated deeper concentration. Now there is so-called, we can call it inherent samadhi. Inherent samadhi is one point in the samadhi in the Abhidhamma, Abhidhamma Kosha, Yichesutilun, Yogacara Bhumi Shastra is explained as the concentration of the wholesome mind, Shan Shin Yi Jing Shin. That Shan Shin Yi Jing Shin can also become so-called inherent samadhi. Inherent samadhi is a samadhi which does not go into the depths, but which is connected, which is also one-pointedness of the wholesome mind, and it is connected with the practice of sati, satipatthana. When we practice sati, when we practice mindfulness, even so we do not go into the deeper states of samadhi, and we can practice it in daily life. We can practice it even while lying down, even while walking. The deep concentration you can only practice while sitting or standing. You cannot practice it while walking, you cannot practice it lying down. Is also very difficult, because it is possible but difficult, because we are used to sleep in lying down. So this deep samadhi can only be practiced in stable posture. This inherent samadhi can be practiced always. The difference between us who are not yet arahats, who are not yet Buddhas, is that we can practice this sati samadhi interrupted. The condition of an arahat or of a Buddha is that there is no interruption of the samadhi. They are always in samadhi. That is why they cannot have conflicting emotions. They cannot have defilements. The samadhi, why is that so? Because samadhi is, I mentioned that yesterday, samadhi is always connected with upekha. Upekha is usually translated as equanimity. Equanimity, there are two kinds of equanimity in Buddhism, actually 10 kinds according to the Visuddhimagga, but 10 kinds can be summarized as two. The equanimity of feeling, which means neither pleasant nor unpleasant feeling, and the samskara equanimity, equanimity of formations. There is no samadhi as the one pointedness of the wholesome mind without this equanimity, sankhara equanimity, the equanimity of mental formations. Please understand this very clearly. What means equanimity of the mental formations? The equanimity of the mental formations means the mind, in Pali it is called tatra majatata, the standing there in the middle. What is the condition of standing there in the middle? It means neither clinging to the pleasant nor rejecting the unpleasant. This condition is always connected with samadhi and with samadhi, even with a samadhi which does not go into the depths, even with this inherent samadhi connected with mindfulness and awareness, there will be this kind of tatra majatata, standing there in the middle, not hanging to the pleasant and not rejecting the unpleasant. The condition of an arahat or of a Buddha is that this kind of inherent equanimity, in the sense of not hanging to the pleasant and not rejecting the unpleasant, is always there. That is why they are free from defilements. An arahat cannot cling to the pleasant and he cannot reject the unpleasant. Even so, he feels the pleasant and unpleasant more clearly than us, who are not arahats because his faculties are very clear. He has no clinging or rejecting whatsoever. This is the condition of the arahat or the Buddha, same. This is called in Pali chal anga upekha, the equanimity in regard to the six doors of perception. The six doors of perceptions are guarded always by this equanimity. And the condition for this equanimity precisely is the mindfulness and awareness. That is why the arahat, they have chal anga upekha, they have the equanimity in regard to the six doors of perception, and they always have mindfulness, 100%. My teacher in Sri Lanka always used to say that if we have less than 50% of mindfulness, then we are not meditators. If we have more than 75, then we are getting closer to the condition of continuous meditation. The continuous meditation, then uninterrupted meditation, is the state of an arahat, which is 100% equanimity, 100% mindfulness. So this meditation, like everything we experience in life, is a process. You cannot decide you have 100% mindfulness, you have 100% equanimity. You have to train it, you have to practice it in daily life, you have to become accustomed, you have to make it the inseparable part of your habits. In Buddhism, we don't believe in self. Our self is our habits. If we have the habit of mindfulness and equanimity, it will become natural to us. If we don't have that habit, we cannot decide we want to have it. We will have to cultivate it. Meditation is a process. And no one, if one meditates, attains success in meditation fast, it means he has meditated before. If one does not attain success in meditation fast, it means he has not much meditated before. But the only way to learn meditation is to make it a habit. There is no other way. So if you want to benefit from meditation, if we want to meditate from meditation, if we want to benefit from meditation, we have to make it a habit. When we make it a habit, this inherent mindfulness and equanimity will also become natural. We will not have to struggle for it. It will become natural. That the job of the meditator, as the Dhammapada says, is to protect his mind. And who protects his mind? Precisely this mindfulness, equanimity, connected with awareness. The awareness comes in as a guardian of equanimity and mindfulness. By, in virtue of awareness, we will be, if we study shamatha object, the non-differentiated object, the concept, then we will know immediately when our mind has left the suitable object of concentration, and naturally it will return back by in virtue of awareness. If we study what will imply, it will imply that we will be aware what objects are suitable for us, what objects are suitable for cognizing, what objects are not suitable for cognizing, avoid this unsuitable object of cognition, to avoid defilements, to have skillful means to avoid the unsuitable objects, and to stay with the suitable objects. And finally, the most important part of awareness is to be aware of these mental processes. No matter whether Yogacara Bhumi Shastra or Cheng Shilun or Visuddhimagga, they all specially emphasize the cognition is a process. There has to be certain cognitions, there has to be certain conditions, there has to be turning towards the object, there has to be reception of the object, decision about the object. All this happens with incredible speed. By practicing mindfulness, awareness and equanimity, then one will be aware of it more and more, and not allow the unwholesome cognitions, unwholesome emotions to continue. knowing exactly what is going on. Awareness is knowing what is going on. That is awareness in the sense of vipassana. Vipassana means clear seeing and clear differentiating. And the condition of this clear seeing and the clear differentiation is that we have been practicing this deep concentration and inherent concentration together with its inseparable parts, which are the, as we have said, mindfulness and equanimity. There comes to it, when there is mindfulness and equanimity, there comes to it another inseparable part of samadhi, which is the effort. Virya, chin-chin. In Visuddhimagga, you will find a very nice story about the three friends. You know, you remember that story? Shall I tell? A nice story? Okay. So they want to make some nice sauce for curry, for the rice. I will tell some story. Three good friends, they want to enjoy a religious festival. Say, because it is connected with wisdom, we are practicing meditation to open the heart to wisdom. Without the wisdom, the heart is not open. It is a wisdom which opens heart and purifies heart. So these three friends, they want to worship, for example, let's say it is not in Visuddhimagga, Dhammadipa says, they want to worship, for example, the Saraswati. Who is Saraswati? The goddess of wisdom. Or they want to worship Pragyaparamita, Poje Polomi. If you have been in Nepal, in India, Poje Polomi is also represented as the beautiful lady. Wisdom is always female, represented as the Greeks always, also Sophia. Then in Hinduism, Saraswati. In Buddhism, the Poje Polomi Nishan. In Nepal, if you go, still very common in the Nevari community, the Poje Polomi becomes a very beautiful lady, and they worship as a incarnation of wisdom. So they want to worship Saraswati. In India, if you have lived in India, the one of the most important religious festival is the worship of Saraswati, which takes place in February. While February in India, February is very wonderful month, many flowers. In California also, February, everything blooming. What month is the month of flowers in California? Also February, March. So they want to worship the goddess Saraswati. So they go to a park, and in the park there are beautiful champaka trees, yulanhua, you know yulanhua in Taiwan, very nice smell, they hang on the in front of the car, some Xiaojie will sell on the street, right? So they want to pick up the Yilanhua, but the branches are very high. So what to do? The one good friend, he's trying very hard to climb the tree, but he falls. They cannot reach the upper part of the tree to pick the Yilanhua, the champaka flower. So what happens? One friend comes and bends his back. So the other friend climbs on his back and he wants to reach this nice champaka Yilanhua, but he's very unstable and falls from his back. So the third friend comes in and offers his shoulder. So he steadies his hand on his shoulder, and then according to his need, he plucks this beautiful Yilanhua, put in the basket, and they all happily go to worship the goddess of wisdom. What is the simile for? Who is the friend who bends his back? It is the genyen, mindfulness. Who is the friend who picks up the flowers? It is a samadhi. The samadhi can pick up the flowers and offer the wisdom. Due to samadhi, the wisdom can open. Without samadhi, no one can see things as they really are. But the samadhi supported by genyen, by the right mindfulness, is still not stable enough. It needs the support of the shoulder of the right effort. So when he puts his hand on the shoulder of the right effort, and then he can pluck the flowers and worship the goddess of wisdom. So the three always have to be together: the samadhi, the mindfulness, and the correct effort. And we have added to it another friend, which is equanimity. There is no samadhi without equanimity. It is very important to understand. According to Buddhism, Abhidharma Kosha, the Southern Buddhism, Yichesitirun, Yogacara Bhumishastra, same. The wholesome cognition cannot exist really without this power of the mind to stay in the middle. If the mind has not the power to stay in the middle, it will definitely get involved with unwholesome emotions and unwholesome cognitions. Only when it has power to stay in the middle, to avoid grasping and to avoid anger, then it will maintain whatever wholesome nature it has attained. Otherwise it will immediately lose it. So the samadhi is inseparable from this staying in the middle. There is no practice of samadhi without staying in the middle. Please remember that. So when you are observing the breath with anupasana, with just pure observation, what you are practicing is nothing else but these things. The mindfulness is, how do you know you have mindfulness? you have mindfulness because your mind does not wobble on the object. If you practice breath meditation on the in-breath and out-breath, and you are always remembering that object. You cannot forget that object. The manifestation of mindfulness is not forgetting the object. And the cause of mindfulness is stable perception. You have the stable perception of that object, therefore you don't forget it. You don't forget it, therefore your mind does not wobble on it. And we have explained, according to the Abhidharma Kosha commentary, the mindfulness interprets or articulates clearly to the mind the object. Why the mind does not forget the object when it has mindfulness? Because it is clearly articulated, clearly expressed to the mind. Who clearly expresses to the mind the object? The mindfulness. When the mindfulness clearly expresses the object to the mind, the mind will understand it clearly. If the mind does not understand it clearly, it will lose all the positive qualities. That which makes the mind understand it clearly, it is awareness. Understanding clearly means differentiating clearly. When the breath becomes very clear and you can differentiate it clearly from the beginning to the end while practicing the shamatha meditation, you have awareness. If you cannot, you don't have the awareness. If you don't have the awareness, you will not be able to protect the mind from thinking and from the distraction. Please remember that. Now, the third friend that we have mentioned is the right effort. How do you know you have the right effort? Because the mind is supported on the object. The right effort is like the pillar of the house. The pillar of the what function is in? If you have lived in Burma or in Thailand, most of the houses are on pillars. Why? Because there are a lot of the rain during the monsoon season. All is flooded. So if the houses are not on the pillars, all the insects will crawl into the house, right? So. Similarly, if the meditation mind is not supported by the right effort, all the dangerous insects and snakes will crawl into the house of our mind and cause much suffering and trouble. So the mind of samadhi and the mind of vipassana has to be always supported by on these pillars of right effort. Then you will reach whatever you want to reach. The flowers for worshipping. The wisdom for attaining the wisdom will become very clear. So now you have got the gist how to meditate. Now we will again explain these four steps that we have mentioned yesterday in the meditation on breath, which Tony has chosen to be the topic for yesterday and today's short retreat. The first step is counting. It is in the counting that these friends become clear. counting does not mean counting. In fact, you do not need to count. You can also, we have mentioned yesterday, you can also remind yourself, just I am breathing in and breathing out. But the shusi, the counting the breath, means just getting established on the object. Yesterday we have already mentioned the explanation of the scriptures, the sati. This meditation is called anapana sati, the mindfulness of the in-breath and out-breath. The sati means being established. Without being established on the object of meditation, you are not meditating. And who establishes you on the object of meditation? The sati. The sati means remembering the object. You have to remember the object a long, long time. Only then the mind will be able to clearly differentiate the object. If the mind does not remember the object, how will it clearly differentiate it? So it is very important to understand this meditation is called the mindfulness of the in-breath and out-breath, because by mindfully observing the in-breath and out-breath, you become established in that meditation. If you're not mindfully remembering the in-breath and out-breath, you will not be established in the meditation. You will be established in all kinds of dreams and fancies. Have you experienced all kinds of dreams? Now, I have said that the first step, when you're counting the breath, all kinds of dreams and fancies may come, but if the object of meditation is remembered, they will not last. If the object of meditation is not remembered, they will last, and you will lose the meditation. That is why I have said the counting is for what? Counting is so that whatever feelings you experience, whatever perceptions you experience, whatever other differentiations, other cognitions you experience, you should experience together with the in-breath and out-breath. If the in-breath and out-breath is clear, these cannot be clear, and they, after popping out, they will naturally disappear. If the breath is not clear in virtue of memory, mindfulness, these other feelings, other perceptions, other ideas will take you away from breath. And then you knock out. Like if you want to play American football, you are in offside. You are out of the game. When you're out of the game, you just wasting your time. So the counting is establishing oneself in the object. If you use other skillful means, you can use telling yourself, I breathe in, I breathe out. It's also good. In Thailand, they breathing in, bu, breathing out, do, bu, do, bu, do. Any skillful means you can use to establish yourself on the meditation object. Then your friends will push you. Otherwise your friends will disappear. And we have already talked, who is your friend in this meditation? When your friends become strong, you become strong. When your friends are weak, you are out of the game. Wasting the time. So the first step is get established on the in-breath and out-breath and always recollect it. The second step is when you have always recollected it, then the power of mindfulness will become established. And when the power of mindfulness is established, you don't need to, when the mind goes away from the object, you don't need to bring it back by force, you bring it back by wisdom, because the mindfulness is the instrument of wisdom. The wisdom means clear differentiation, clear understanding. So, it is very important to understand. So, when the mindfulness is established, now we have already explained the explanation of the commentary to Abhidhamma Kosha. Yashomitra says, the mindfulness is what articulates or expresses the object clearly to the mind. When the object is clearly expressed to the mind, the next step you will see the following the breath. Sui-shi. First step, shu-shi, counting. Second step, anu-gamana, following. Following the breath from the beginning to the end. Each and every in-breath and out-breath, you will be clearly expressed in virtue of mindfulness, where? At the place where you are experiencing the breath round about the nostrils. You should try to get accustomed to experience the breath always on the same place. Then if you remember breath, it will always appear there. Yesterday we made the experiment, right? You still remember? Wherever you, because of my breath appears in the whole body, wherever you concentrate, the breath will be clear there. We made that experiment, right? You still remember? Now, the most convenient place is here. If you concentrate here, the area of your concentration is too big. Then the mind will be scattered. Here the area of concentration is not too big, so mind will not get scattered. So when you observe breath here in this area, you should not allow the area of observation be too big. If it is too big, the mind will tend to scatter. If it is too small, and you struggle to make it small, you will feel tight. When you feel tight, you will not be able to use your friends, because you will not feel comfortable with the object, and your mind, when it does not feel comfortable with the object, off it goes. Is it true or not? Have you experienced? So, very important to middle way, neither make the mind tight nor make the mind scattered. Feel very comfortable with the object. Now, the best place to pay attention is on the upper lip. If you pay attention on the upper lip, in the middle, you will not get distracted by the process of change. In every hour, one nostril is more open and one nostril is more blocked. If you go to meditate in the cave later, I hope you will find interest. You can know time. The bhikshus who meditate in the cave, they have no watch. They can, if they watch the breath, they can know time. Now, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours have passed. Oh, it's time for going on the begging round now. They can know the time. It is, unless you regulate it, the practice of pranayama, or if you lie on the one side, then the other nostril will open. You can regulate it, but unless you regulate it, every hour, almost minute, on minute exact, of the breath will pass from left to the right nostril, from right to the left nostril. To avoid this change of attention, the best place to concentrate is in the middle of the upper lip. But you should not struggle. First, the beginners experience the breath wherever it appears clearly. When the concentration is better, yesterday you made the experiment, when you use it, wherever you use it, the breath will be clear. So the best to use concentration is in the middle. Then you will avoid this process of change from left to right, from right to left. Is it clear? Now, when the breath has been clearly interpreted to the mind by mindfulness, you will be able to see the whole body of breath from the beginning to the end in one place. Yesterday we have explained. This is the second step. The second step in Visuddhimagga is explained together with the third step, which is touching. You don't find it in Abhidharma Kosha, you don't find it in Yogacara Bhumi Shastra, but it is in Visuddhimagga, because Visuddhimagga is specially emphasizing you should from the beginning place attention in one spot, different from Abhidharma Kosha, Yogacara Bhumi Shastra. But we won't talk about it now, otherwise you get confused. Many theories, many cooks spoil the meal. So keep one cook and the meal will always be okay. So the experience of the breath then will always be in one place. So try to get also in daily life, when you pay attention to the breath, try to remember, when you practice continuously meditation on breath, it will always appear whenever you remember it in one place. Then you don't, your mind does not need to run. It will always be there, available to you. Why? Because you have the habit. So, what is the advantage? In daily life, when you face all kinds of difficulties, some disturbing emotions, some crazy ideas, you remember breath, and it will naturally appear where you usually observe it. And because you are used to observe it with mindfulness and awareness and with equanimity, immediately your defilements will disappear like clouds in the wind. Is it clear? That's why I so much emphasize meditation is a continuous process. You should make it a habit. When you make it a habit and you are used to remembering the breath with equanimity, with concentration, with awareness, with the correct effort, as soon as you remember your skillful means of concentration and of clear seeing, your defilement's gone. Why? Because you are used to this meditation. When whatever you are used to becomes natural, you don't need to struggle, because you have experienced it many, many times, and you have experienced many, many times a peace and equanimity connected with the pure observation of the breath. You don't need to do anything. When you remember the object, you will also remember the clear mind, the equanimous mind, the concentrated mind connected with it. That is why it is so important to cultivate meditation every day. Then the third step, the fourth step, is called placing. What means placing? Placing means the process of attaining samadhi and staying in samadhi. When you place the mind, yesterday I don't know if I have explained the samadhi, there is much confusion, especially in the West, about the word samadhi. The old scholars, they translated this as some ecstasy or something like this. It is everything else except ecstasy. The samadhi means literally in Pali or Sanskrit the correct, unscattered application of the mind to the object. Nothing at all which is connected with some kind of unusual conditioning. It is the most usual, it should be the most usual and common conditioning, not anything unusual. The sam means together and correct. Sambodhi means the correct and correct awakening. So the correct application of the mind to the object means application of the mind to the object with all these friends I have, we have been talking about. It is these mental factors which decide that the mind becomes balanced. Samadhi is the condition of the perfectly balanced mind. And it can be a practice, as we have said, in inherent samadhi, not in deep concentration in daily life. And also then, in deep concentration, it is sharpened. So this inherent samadhi, when it becomes natural, the also the deep samadhi will become natural. Even if you have attained deep samadhi, unless you are practicing this inherent concentration in daily life with these good friends, then you will not be able to stay in samadhi with a long time, and the samadhi will not be natural. Only when you have practiced in daily life this inherent samadhi, the samadhi will become perfectly natural. Then you will get the clarity of the mind connected with it, which you can then use for anything. It is the condition of wisdom. Just like if you don't have a flour, you cannot bake bread, you cannot bake cookies, you cannot bake biscuits, you cannot bake almond cakes, honey cakes, anything. If you don't have this flour, the flour is the samadhi. If you don't have the flour, you can't even make a bread. The basic wisdom, not to speak about these very developed stages of the wisdom, that the super mundane path and so on is talking about, or the realization of the suchness and so on. So this flour has to be there. Then if you use it for bread, very good. If you use it for cookies, very good. Honey cake, very good. Pistachio cake, almond cake, very good. Anything you can add, but you need this flour. Without flour, nothing can be baked, right? So this ability for samadhi connected with the equal mind, balanced mind, has to be practiced in daily life. Very important. Now we come to the placing. The placing is can only come when you are able to see the whole process of in-breath and out-breath. Only then you can do placing. Otherwise you will not be able to do placing. If you don't see the whole body of in-breath and out-breath, how will you place mind equally on that? You cannot. You can only place mind equally on an object which is a clear object. If the object is not clear, how will you place mind on it equally? The placing means placing the mind equally on the object and never and let it stay there. This is a condition of samadhi. Placing the mind equally on the object means the mind does not sink, does not get scattered. The mind becomes equanimous, balanced. None of the mental factors is in excess, none of the mental factors is in shortage. The specially explained in Visuddhimagga, the balance of the five faculties, five controlling faculties. If the effort is too strong, what will happen? Mind will become agitated, right? If the face is too strong, also the mind will become agitated. If the if the samadhi is too strong, not balanced by effort, what will happen? The mind will drop. If the wisdom differentiation is very clear, but you don't have faith in what you're doing, what will happen? Your mind will start thinking all kinds of things and differentiating all kinds of things. Then you will also not get there. So the mind needs a perfect balance. Only then one will be able to practice this inherent samadhi, and not to speak about the deep samadhi. The samadhi itself is also the nothing else but the balance of the mind. And due to the balance of the mind, you are able to keep the defilements at check. If the mind has no balance, the defilements cannot be checked. So placing means placing the mind equally. When the mind is placed equally on the object becomes also very subtle. The object is not subtle because the inability of the mind to be placed on it equally. We have yesterday explained that the breath is a mind-created corporeality. It belongs to the body, but it is mind-created. If there is no mind, there is no breath, right? So, because the breath is mind-created corporeality, therefore it is directly connected to the mind. When the mind becomes balanced, the breath also becomes balanced. When the mind is unbalanced, the breath will also become unbalanced. If you have trained in balanced mind on the breath, even when the breath is unbalanced, when we have some physical difficulties, when we become sick, even if we have strong mind, still the breath will become very difficult. When we die, the breath becomes very difficult. When we have some serious disease, the breath will become very difficult. But the meditator on breath, even the with a difficult breath, he will stay with the equal mind. This is the wonder of the meditation. It is a mind which defines the object, not the object which defines the mind. The more one meditates, the more clear one will be about that. The breath can become difficult, but the mind will stay in balance. This is what you will achieve, what you want to achieve in this meditation. And the breath will surely become difficult. The breath is bound to become difficult. Even suppose if you do certain bodily postures, the breath may become difficult, but the mind becomes balanced even on the difficult body and the difficult breath. The Indian yogis, they are training like that, staying in all kinds of very difficult postures, but their mind is balanced and equal. But the difference is that they are trying to control the breath, but the advanced yogis also not. We should not give them injustice. But usually they tend to control the breath. But this meditation is, you don't control the breath, you are detached from it. So the first stage of this meditation is to stay with the breath. When you stay with the breath becomes clear. When the breath becomes clear, you will be able to attain relaxation and clarity. When you have attained the relaxation and clarity, you will have the happiness with the object, fulfillment with the object. When you have happiness, fulfillment with the object, the clarity and relaxation of the mind will become more outspoken. Then you can attain samadhi. The samadhi is attained in the stage of placing. When you have placed the mind equally on the object becomes more subtle. When the object becomes more subtle, you will experience some color or light where you are experiencing the object. And in the beginning, this color or light will not be stable because your perception is not yet stable. When your perception is stabilized on still continuing to observing, now the breath becomes very light, very comfortable. This comfortable light breath, when you continue observing, this light will become stabilized. When this light or color becomes stabilized, does not change, you don't need to bother anymore about the breath. You pay attention, concentrate on that color or light, then go into samadhi. I will not explain how to go into these deeper stages of samadhi. It will take some time before you learn. Maybe in Veracruz I will explain it, not now. Because too many things, mind will become distracted. So let us make a stop here. We will make 15 minutes break. And after 15 minutes, from 11 to 12, we have another hour of meditation. And then lunch break. And from after lunch break, the last opportunity, if you need a personal interview, from 1 to 2, personal interview. And from 2 to 3, we will do again meditation, not 1 hour, maybe 45 minutes. And we will round up today by again transference of merit and some last encouragement and explanation. Okay? Good program. So, 15 minutes break.
I'm unclear about that. You talking about how do I know I'm mindful? If saying that I need to have the continuous perception.
Not continuous, stable perception.
Stable perception about my object, right?
You have the right mindfulness when your mind remembers clearly the object and it does not wobble away from the object.
Wobble means
Pujentong.
So you say the continuous perception, I remember, I hear that continuous perception about the object.
Stable perception.
Oh, stable.
Okay. Xiuxi.
In hearing samadhi, in hearing samadhi, is it similar to excess concentration?
Not quite. Excess concentration already is deeper. Deeper. Like now, I'm moving my leg, I'm fully aware of this moving the leg. This is like inherent samadhi. My mind is united with what I'm doing and sees it, experiences it very clearly. Inherent is the one. Inherent. Inherent in Kai Fani. Zuran, in Kai Kai.
老师，你说那个呼吸是mind的什么？Mind created的。那休息。